When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I am wearing my Boomer and Geo Live We Give Thanks Ugly sweater because this is Boomer and Geo Live Week. We just spoke to Jose Iglesias, who's going to close the show with OMG. And we, from the beginning, have been on this Boomer and Geo Live journey with Adam and the Metal Hawks, and they have really provided just an amazing vibe for each one of these shows. They start playing about an hour before we go on. They play during the show, and they are local guys. They are awesome. They are on the rise, and we can't do one of these shows without them. They've also been with us on the kickoff to summer. So if you want to see Adam and the Metal Hawks, Jose Iglesias, in addition to every crazy thing that we're going to do at Boomer and Geo Live, go to WFAN.com/live or just go to Ticketmaster and check out Boomer and Geo Live at the Paramount. Still some tickets left there and a couple of VIP tickets left where you get the meet and greet with us, some gifts, and obviously the meet and greet with Jose Iglesias I've been talking about. But Adam and the Metal Hawks back. What's up, boys?
Howdy.
What's going on?
Yeah, so you've been all over the place, huh? I heard you in Utah and Albuquerque and all these other weird places.
We just went on tour with Bowling for Soup, one of the best tours we've ever done. They're such good guys and a really great show. And it was just really awesome to travel the West Coast, our first time kind of going up and down.
Yeah.
We touched on Canada a little bit, hit Vegas again, always good to go there. So
any really, guys really awesome. Get in trouble in Vegas?
No.
No?
I've been to Vegas four times. This is how boring I am. I've been to Vegas four times this year, and I haven't gotten in trouble once.
Oh, come on, man.
They don't look old enough to go to Vegas.
My mother says I'm a perfect angel.
You guys get younger every time I see you, which is strange. I don't know how that happens. But all right, so we want to hear some music as always. So what are you going to start off with?
Yeah, so we introduced a couple new songs into our set. So we thought we'd play a little new cover for you. This one is perfect for that pop punk 90s kids out there. So I'm sure young and old, you'll be able to appreciate it. This one's called The Middle. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked down on. Just try your best, try everything you can, and don't you worry what they tell themselves when you're away. It just takes some time, little girl, you're in the middle of the ride. Everything will be just fine. Everything'll be alright, alright. Hey, you know they're all the same. You know you're doing better on your own. So don't buy in. Just live right now and just be yourself. It doesn't matter if it's good enough for someone else. It just takes some time, little girl. You're in the middle of the ride. Everything'll be just fine. Everything'll be alright, alright. It just takes some time, little girl. You're in the middle of the ride. Everything'll be just fine. Everything'll be alright, alright. Johnny!
H Band on social media. Find him on TikTok and Instagram and everything else. AMH Band, Adam and the Metal Hawks, and they've got a tremendous following for a reason because they're really good and they're really funny and energetic and all. I mean, they were in London, they were playing overseas, now they're playing the West Coast. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the next Boomer and Geo Live, they're going to be somewhere else. I mean, now I'm a little bit worried about this, and we're going to lose them.
On the day.
We might lose them now because they're getting so popular.
They will not forget where they came from.
No. Of course not. And, of course, local guys, as we know. So just for someone who, because you're on stage during all these Boomer and Geo Lives, for someone who hasn't gone to one of them, well, what would just a couple of words to describe the chaos that is on stage when you're watching this?
I mean, I would say expect the unexpected. You know, you never know what's going to happen. Boomer and Geo Live. Yeah. That's the fun of it.
Yeah, it's true. Boomer doesn't know what's going to happen, actually, because we don't tell him. We don't tell him because we want him to be surprised. And there you guys are from the last one back in April. And as we mentioned, they open the show starting at 7 o'clock. Then our show starts at 8 o'clock, and they remain on stage with us. They're like our roots is what's going on here, and they've been great to us. So in addition to playing the covers and the social media stuff, you guys are putting out original music, which is great, and you got an unreleased song just for us in the audience today.
Just for you guys.
So that is exciting. I just found that out, so I don't know if you're nervous to debut it or not, but this is going to be a big moment for you.
I think you guys and the folks at home got to let us know if you like this song. You know, if you don't like it, we'll can it.
To like it or spike it. It's a like it or spike it.
Like it or spike it. Yes. Yeah, all right. Let's hear it. What's it called?
This one is called Wrong Time of Day.
All right. Let's hear it. was awesome.
It was good.
Man, I tell you, that was very, very good. And I would certainly tell you the truth because that's what we do here. I think that was awesome. And you guys have gotten even tighter and better since the last time that I heard you with the harmonies and just everything. You would expect that as you continue to grow and get older and play more together. But seriously, so I mean, that's as tight as I've ever heard you.
Well, that's what doing 15 shows in 18 days will do to you.
Right, right.
You're forced to get tighter. You're forced to just listen to each other more. You know, I mean, we're a band of brothers at this point.
Yeah.
Spend so much time together, so.
I mean, it's hard, though, to keep those relationships good throughout. I mean, I'm sure you have your ups and downs and someone's pissy
just like
or whatever.
Brothers, you know, we fight sometimes. Too.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's kind of like us around here.
Yeah. Very rich. Usually Al is causing the problems. Yes. The rest of us are fine. It's just keeping him happy. That is great, and I'm so happy for you guys, seriously. And to be a small part of your journey here, it makes us feel great. So
we appreciate it.
Can't wait to see you. It's always great being backstage, getting jacked up for Boomer and Geo Live, and hearing you guys just pounding it out there. It's like, it gets me going, you know? So can't wait to see you guys again on Friday. It is awesome to hear you and see you again. And we got a big one coming up. Biggest Boomer and Geo Live yet.
We're very excited.
All right. Look forward to it, guys.
All right, Adam and the Metalhawks. We appreciate you guys. So, it's going to be great. And if you want to get tickets, they're still out there. There's still a few VIP tickets. Should we just shuffle them out now? What do you think? Because we have a couple more minutes here to talk about something else. So, we'll just open the door. We'll let them go. Because if they stay in there awkwardly the whole time, that'd be very weird.
Yes.
For me and for you and for them.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we'll do here.
See you, boys.
Yeah, see you, guys. Yeah.
You got it, guys.
Yeah.
Well, the real question, I don't know, are they sports fans?
No.
No, I don't think
really.
So.
No, not really, but that's fine.
I mean, we're music fans.
We are music fans.
That was actually a pretty good. I wonder if somebody, where can you get that single? Do you have any idea?
It's unreleased. It's so unreleased, nowhere.
So you can't really get it anywhere.
Yeah, on the Odyssey app right now.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can get it, I'm sure, when they release it, just on the Apple Music, Spotify, all that stuff. I'm sure it's available, but it's unreleased. So this is the first time.
It was great that these guys have been together for so long, as you said.
Yeah.
Which is amazing because, you know, you would think that there'd be a lot of tension, especially if you're not doing so well. But these guys have been doing well since the day we met them.
Yeah, I know, which is great. And just hearing how much, I didn't think they could get much better, quite frankly, and they have. They've gotten tighter, and things are even better. So it is amazing to see their growth. And I tell you, the closest thing that I will get to, I don't know, being in a rock band or being a stand-up comedian, or running out on the field like you did, are these Boomer and Geo Lives. That really is, that feeling and walking out and seeing the crowd.
It's a big deal, yes.
Is a huge deal, and it's a huge deal for me, and it's never going to get old. So when you're you're hearing them just completely just be rocking the hell out of the Paramount, waiting for us to come on and seeing the crowd fill up, gives you chills. Gives you chills. And then you go out, and then you do what you got to do, and that's me playing with Adam and the Metalhawks last time. So it was during our talent show, and that was April? That was April, right? I don't even remember anymore our lives. Do we know our lives anymore? I don't even remember. It was April. I think it was April, or was it May? It was May, maybe.
Very first one at White Eagle was April. Okay.
Yeah, that was Good Friday.
That's right.
And it was early May. And it was, not far from the kickoff show.
That's right. That was the salespeople's excuse for not selling it, was that. I remember that, hearing that a lot. It was like, it's too close to the kickoff show. I was like, well, what do you want me to do about it, huh?
Nothing.
But this one, we've got tremendous sponsors and partners, and it is this Friday. And I've got, it's funny. You talk all the time about how people don't understand what we do, you know, and what time we get up.
Yes.
So even my own wife yesterday, she goes, you sure you can't come to dinner beforehand? I said, Gina, what do you think I'm doing? I got to go through a sound check. We got to do the rundown. I got outfit changes. I'd love to be over at that swanky Italian restaurant you're going to and sitting there sharing garlic knots with everybody, but I can't. Come on. You know that. Dinner. Dinner with the friends.
She doesn't understand just the pressure that you're under. That you put yourself under. By the way, but you put yourself under that pressure.
Well, I mean, anybody who cares does that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Boomer could go to the dinner and then just show up at Showtime, right?
Yeah, why not?
Well, he actually could, yeah, I guess.
But that's I'm usually down in the Founders Room having a good time.
Yeah, one of our VIPs is going to be down there in the Founders Room, too.
I'm sure he will be.
One of our special guest VIPs told me he's got like 15 buddies, and they're going to be down there in the Founders Room. Like, you sure? Yeah. This guy's a recognizable person.
No,
are you sure?
He's used to it. People are used to him.
Okay. All right. I think.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
He's a regular.
Because I originally said, you know.
When he walks in, it's like, Norm!
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right, because he said he goes there a lot.
Yes.
But when I got him together with Emily, our head of marketing, I said, you know, we'd like to keep this guy away from the crowd, thinking that he would want to be away from the crowd.
He's like, no,
I'm going to be down here with 15 buddies.
It's going to be piling in, man. We're all going to be piling in.
I mean,
that's the great thing about it. I mean, like, you know, that was probably the best part of the last one we had there, for me anyway.
Is hanging out? Beforehand?
Just hanging out beforehand.
Yeah. So we will be there hanging out beforehand and afterwards with the meet and greet with Jose Iglesias. So, yeah, former Islanders Josh Bailey, Cal Clutterbuck, Jose Iglesias, Adam and the Metalhawks. It's going to be amazing. So check out tickets for Boomer and Geo Live, WFAN.com/live. Or just go to Ticketmaster. A few VIP tickets left as well if you want to get that whole meet and greet deal going afterwards and some gifts.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry tagged me in something that I've been paying attention to the last couple of days. You know, Bryson DeChambeau is trying to make a hole-in-one over his home with a bunch of glass windows.
It's unbelievable.
And he just keeps, so he's got like a hole or a putting green in his backyard. He's in his driveway with a mat, and he's hitting these wedge shots over his house where it's full glass. And he gets so close almost every time.
It's ridiculous.
The dispersion is just like, he doesn't miss by more than 10 feet.
How about the fact that he hasn't had one yet? I think he's on day 7 now, right? Or day 8.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, and he only does 7 a day. Right. He doesn't just sit there and do it over and over and over.
No, again. I know that, but I'm saying like he's on day 8 now.
Of 7 shots a day. Yeah, right. So we'll see how long it takes.
And he still hasn't hit one.
But he's so close.
I know, he's really close. Has he broken a window yet? Did he shank one at any
point? No, I haven't seen one.
Yeah. I don't know. I just saw this today. I was dumbfounded by it.
I was listening to our guys Frankie and Trent on the Foreplay podcast. They were talking about the Caitlin Clark shank and then played a YouTube video from years ago that I'd never seen. It was a pro-am, and there was this woman who tees off and she shanks one, boom, left and hits all these people, right? This looked like it was from like the early 90s or late 80s. Hits all these people and someone goes down, you know, like just down. So then she tees it back up, hits it right back over there to the same people. And someone in the background yells, "Make her cut it out!" And then this voice comes over the loudspeaker.
"We have first aid on the way. We expect you to just move out of the way. First aid is coming."
It's just so, "Make her cut it out!"
I can't get over having been to enough of those events now for these pro-ams, how people just assume that these amateurs are good.
Yeah, right. I get scared to death if there's like someone working on a bunker out there, one person, you know? Like a ploy that they don't look, they don't pay attention. Like, I could kill this person. You got 50 people lined up on each side of you?
You ever see
someone's going down?
The SI with Tiger at 18?
Yeah.
And they are lined up. It doesn't take much.
No,
right?
It doesn't.
He was in California last year when his back went out and he shanked one right over the head of fans. Like, wow.
I mean, even Scotty Scheffler out of that bunker, they shanked one out of a bunker. It happens to the best of them.
It does happen.
And someone could be taken out. All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Obviously, we've been football heavy this morning, so give the Knicks their due as they blew out the Wizards last night, winning their third in a row.
Towns on the catch and the flush. Carl Anthony Towns with authority. What sore knee. What bad back. Towns agile and hostile.
That, of course, Breen and Clyde on MSG. Carl Anthony.
We're here.
Yes, 24 points, 12 rebounds. Jalen Brunson, 26 and 11 assists. Knicks win 134-106. Here is Tom Thibodeau. Just loves the way his team played.
I thought the tone was set with Kat and Jalen, particularly Jalen's. The way he came out, that aggressiveness was huge to set the tone for the game. And then when you look at the way Mikhail and OG and Josh are playing, they're creating a lot of good stuff for us.
Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, 14 points apiece. OG Anunoby adding 16. Here is Hart. We started and we finished fast.
It's good. You know, a game like this is obviously that's a good young team. On the second half of a back-to-back, well, you knew they were going to run. So we responded well. We came out the gate with energy and, you know, we took care of business.
He's got respect for his fellow teams.
I mean, they were a 14.5 point.
He didn't call them sag nuts or whatever you call them.
Slag nut nets.
Is that what it is? Here's Jalen Brunson on MSG.
They're actually going to do a slag nut bobblehead at the Barclays Center later on this year.
So this is a process.
It's going to be a slow, steady grind the entire year. Now we're going to continue to get better every single game, every single time we get the chance to. So, I mean, hopefully, but we're going to continue to go that way.
By the way, do you guys see the Rick Brunson story? That the NBA is investigating the promotion that the Knicks gave Brunson and the pay raise. And the Knicks came out and defended it and basically called it unfounded and not fair. You didn't see that?
No. The pay raise that they gave Rick Brunson?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
They can't pay these guys what they want to pay them?
The stories are not, there's not a lot of detail to them.
Are they investigating because they gave him more money than they gave his son? Or
I don't know.
Something like that?
I saw the reply from The Garden.
Okay.
And it was just, you know, it's unfounded, it's not unfair, and so they were defending themselves, that's all. Washington, by the way, 9 straight losses. They're 2-11. The Knicks are 8-6. You've got the Nets home for the Hornets tonight on the Fan at 7:20. Also in the NBA, the 76ers lost again. They are 2-11. They got hammered in the second half by the Heat. Wind up losing 106-89. Nick Nurse took them quite a long time to meet the media because his team's not very good. Needed to talk to them.
Hey, we just had a little meeting. So I just took a little bit longer than normal to get here. Won't get into specifics of that meeting, but happy to answer any questions about the game.
And I know you mentioned Spike before with the whole Gary Myers thing. I think called this the worst Sixers team he's ever seen.
Well, yeah. And I guess he's angry. That's why he was clapping back at Gary this morning. Just misplaced anger, maybe.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Although he was clapping back, I think, last night. Was it this morning or was it last night? Was it this morning?
It was this morning.
Oh, okay. I thought it was last night.
So woke up pissed off. Woke up angry.
I guess so. Monday Night Football at AT&T Stadium, and this was all Texans.
Rush in the gun. Through the air, 22 of 40. Drops back. Hit from behind. Ball joint free. But then it was picked up, and then it was knocked free again. And then picked up on the play by Burnett, who went from the 20 to the 10 to the 5. Houston scored on a fumble recovery touchdown by Derek Burnett.
Suck balls. That was Kevin Harlan with the highlight, not sucking balls. Westwood won on the Fan. 34-10, the Texans roll the Cowboys. It was a 17-10 game at halftime. They outscored him 17-0 in the second half. Joe Mixon, 109 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. He had like 40 yards receiving as well. Monster game. Here was C.J. Stroud. Mixon's night, just incredible.
You know, Joe has been amazing. He's been somebody who came in and taught guys how to win more, you know, because we won some games last year, but, you know, he taught guys what it takes to get to that bowl, you know, and, you know, we're not there yet, but, you know, we're taking strides, and every team goes through adversity throughout the year, you know, so.
Well, they snap a 2-game little slide with that win last night. Nico Collins was back, 4 catches for 54 yards for Mike McCarthy's team. They took a 64-yard field goal off the board from Brandon Aubrey, and then they went for a 4th-and-2 at the 10, didn't get it. McCarthy felt it was the right thing to do.
You know, we needed 7 there, and, you know, 4th-and-2 and everything that, you know, we were talking leading into that series, that's a go-for-it situation, and, you know, I felt good about the call.
Hickory dickory dock. Mouse ran up the clock.
Yeah.
No matter what I say. Dead man walking. Lame duck. Fat ass, call me whatever you want to call me.
It does feel that way, yes. And I didn't realize going into that game, Brandon Aubrey was 35 of 35 at AT&T Stadium. He missed a 40-yarder because he slipped and then makes the 64-yarder that they take off the board.
Yep.
It did not count. Here's Jerry Jones on making in-season coaching changes. They ask him this every single week.
Well, I have made a change. And I've never I've made a change early and on a coach with Chan Gailey, and I've always regretted that. And I've made a change during the season, and I've regretted that. And so that's the music I'm listening to.
Speaking of regret, the Trey Lance name comes up over and over and over again. Mike McCarthy.
You know, I think the one thing I should have did at the end, and I just, you know, I didn't do it, was put Trey in there. Like, it could have gotten him a series. That's one thing that I would second guess myself on.
This is where they're at right now. Giants head coach Brian Daboll with the media over a Zoom Monday. Yeah, we heard that. It's enough. But Tommy DeVito starting against the Bucs Sunday. We know that. Here's Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson. So he wasn't fired. Why isn't his team playing well, though? They really are struggling.
You know, each week, each Monday, you know, we haven't felt very good. And that also weighs on you. You're going into the next week. You're trying to motivate yourself again. You're trying to get yourself, you know, picked back up for another game. And, excuse me. And that's hard. That's hard emotionally.
Yeah, they got just steamrolled on Sunday, and they have really struggled. And he talks about a new week and going into the week. Well, how about the Jets going into the bye week? They're 3-8. They haven't played well. They've got all sorts of issues. Their offense at times is good. At times it's brutal. Their defense at times gives up leads. Here's their interim head coach, Jeff Ulbrich, what he told them.
The time for taking a deep breath is not yet. Like, we got to take a deep dive into who we are and just be completely honest and hear the criticisms and grow from the criticisms. And that's not just players. That's coaches as well. You know, not being stubborn to the point where anybody's pointing the finger at anybody else other than themselves.
Do we hear from Joe Douglas?
Yeah, just that one time, and he sounded sad, remember?
Yeah.
Now, after that, no.
That's probably it. Even though it's the bye week, we probably won't hear from him again, right? Till after the season, you would think?
Yeah, I get. I mean, unless they're supposed to talk during the bye
week. I don't know.
It was a couple weeks ago where we were like, man, he sounded terrible.
Sounded like a beaten down puppy. I know.
Eh, well, he's got other organizations that he's worked for before that I'm sure he's going to land on his feet, and it's not all his fault. But he is well-respected in the league, and much like Rob Saleh, I think he's going to have a job next year.
Yankees pitcher Luis Gil named baseball's Rookie of the Year, along with Pirates pitcher Paul Skeens. Here was Gil through a translator. Very excited for the honor, as you can imagine.
It's incredible. You know, I'm so happy and excited about this. Thank God for allowing me to be here. You know, a big thank you for the team to giving me this opportunity, and you know, to be able to pitch the whole year, have a healthy year. So, very thankful.
And hopefully
he should have given Paul Skeens a translator, too, because that guy doesn't say anything.
he does not say much.
I mean, my goodness.
Although he did give you a little bit after the initial one. I'll give you one from him on just the fact that he won after he gave you the two-word answer. Pretty cool.
It's cool. And I think the biggest thing is just, you know, stay present through it all. That's helped me this year. I've surrounded myself with good people, I think, and I've been super lucky to experience all the things that I have. So, just going to try to continue to stay present.
His mind as he's looking at her.
You know, his girlfriend is more excited than he is.
Yeah, there's a meme out there of him just deadpanned and her cheering, and I saw my guy I follow, Gorilla on X. He said, he captioned it, "We're pregnant."
That was really funny.
That is funny. You guys had Jose Iglesias on last hour. That was kind of cool. Then you asked him in the only way you could about a specific free agent that's due in line for a big, big raise and a contract. So here was Iglesias and what he thinks this guy is looking for.
I think it's more of culture, things that he want to feel comfortable. He wants to win. And I think the Mets is a great place. We want to win. I know Steve and Alex want to win. And, you know, it will be huge for having if we get him. If you're not, we got to go beat him.
I thought it was interesting, too, that he said he doesn't think it's about money.
Yeah, I know. To me, that's silly.
Do you think he says that because no matter where he goes, he's going to get a ton? So it's just a matter of picking the right spot, I guess?
No, I think he's not going to turn down more money to go somewhere else. I would be shocked if that's the case. I could be wrong. I just think that with the teams that are involved, whoever pays him the most is where he's going to go.
Did the report yesterday of the fact that Steve Cohen will outbid anybody by $50 million, is that a good report to mention him? That's pretty significant.
I mean, was it a report, really?
Is this a new report or no? I think it was. I mean, it was going around.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was said on the afternoon show of the other
Sports Talk radio station. Oh, is that where it was? It wasn't Heyman?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah. I thought John Heyman said that.
No.
And then they were repeating it.
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
This is why we're not talking about it.
Because of these things.
Yes.
Well, but I think if that
is it a report, is it a new report, is it an old report? Where is he? What's
well,
he doing?
Theoretically, then take? Anything is
think?
Just.
What do you think? What
anything
think?
Until he signs.
Maybe seems like.
Or turns a place
like.
Down.
But you can make that case for anything until anything actually really happens.
Right, but this is that's different with him because I feel like we've been talking about his free agency for like a year.
Oh, no, no. I agree with that. I just thought this warranted new news.
And part of the reason why we did this was because of you and your. Or
oh,
mental health,
I
because
agree.
You have snapped health. Twice with Juan Soto.
Only
yes,
with this guy.
You have.
I said it.
You did say it.
That time I can't run.
But
from
you
that
have
one.
Snapped.
I have.
I can't run from that one.
And we don't want you snapping or
right.
Like
Juan Soto. I heard you, Juan Soto. In fairness, that was last summer when we were far away from. What is he doing?
He's getting the cup.
To oh, put my to put your $20
money
in,
yeah.
Damn
got it.
It. He just like got up and left. My right. Point is, when I did that, I snapped because we were so far off from it, we weren't in the middle of it.
Yeah. Well, we were all burnt out on it now.
All he was talking
Juan
about.
Juan Soto. We hear you. Juan freaking Soto. We know.
That was like three summers ago.
Was it that long
yes.
ago? Right, that's exactly my point.
Because I was ahead of the curve.
Right.
Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
You know,
Juan Soto, your ass.
Magnet.
Oh, sure, yeah, thank you.
The Met Hat magnet.
The Met Hat magnet.
Your ass.
There you got so upset that day.
It was enough. I mean, do you hear yourself sometimes, sag nut? The Capitals beat the Utah Hockey Club 6-2. Alex Ovechkin, two more goals. Now 26 away from Wayne Gretzky's record. You got the Rangers in Vancouver tonight, and the Islanders face the Flames. Time now for Moment of the Day, brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas. Añejo Blanco, Cristalino Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. And Boomer quite cocky about the Knicks these days.
I'll tell you what, you know, you beat the Zagnuts of the NFL, the NBA, which they did. They took care of business. These last three games just hammered two of the worst teams in the league.
The Nets are not one of the worst teams in the league, but I understand your point.
And then now they go out west, and every team that they play out there, they can beat.
So in Phoenix and Utah, Denver, Dallas, Charlotte.
You can beat every two, single one of those
three,
teams.
Five.
Utah stinks. Phoenix is like,
You take 3-2?
No, I want 4-1 at minimum.
Wow. 4-1
they should be
at
able to,
minimum.
With this roster, with this team, they're healthy. Go out there and kick the crap out of these guys. Let's go.
Yeah, man. November regular season basketball.
It's important.
Fire it up.
Every game counts, G.
Yeah.
Especially when you're doing these cup games.
Luis Gil and
by the way, we're 2-0 in cup games. 2-0.
Good.
2-0 in a cup.
Maybe you can hoist that cup in Vegas and you'll get a banner.
I'll be so happy.
I'd be proud of that banner.
Guys in the Knicks will each make an extra $1 million apiece for it. So happy for those guys.
I know, and they're struggling.
You have made me hate the Knicks.
Why?
You.
What do you mean? I'm me.
You. You.
I'm getting close to hating the Knicks because of you.
I'm becoming like very, like, I don't know.
Douchey.
Douchey, really?
There you go. Moment of the day. Yeah. Have a great Tuesday.
You know, usually it is the young Knick fan that is douchey and the older Knick fan who's been through it all.
Something's clicked with him.
Yeah, I don't know. He's really just, I don't know what
to
put my finger on it.
Wait,
I think this team's going to, this is going to be, they'll be in the finals. I mean, the Eastern Conference Finals,
oh,
for
okay.
sure.
All right,
for
all right,
sure.
All right.
For sure.
For sure.
No doubt.
As long as they stay healthy, they're going to be in the Eastern
stay
Conference
healthy.
Finals.
All right, well, you guaranteed the Yankees of the World Series. That happened, so.
I'm feeling it.
Feeling it.
Definitely feeling it.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Yeah, I was just telling Al yesterday, I caught up with the Elvis documentary on Netflix, and it was great.
Yeah.
And Al, you know who's in it is Bruce Springsteen's in it quite a bit.
Oh, I love Bruce Springsteen.
And I didn't realize he was a huge Elvis fan. I'm sure I should have known that, but I'm sure you know that. But he was all over it. And it really centers around his comeback after his 7-year hiatus because he was doing all those stupid movies and everything. And that Colonel Tom packaged him up and all this other stuff. And all the people in the documentary that they were speaking to, you know, all said that was true Elvis when he came back on NBC in 1968, and they showed a lot of scenes from that TV show, And he was amazing when you saw him. You know, I was like a casual Elvis fan. I was towards the, you know, I was a little bit too young for that. But it was a great documentary. I would recommend it for you.
Yeah, I never, like, I'm someone who's an old soul when it comes to music. Obviously, Jimi Hendrix, the Beatles I've talked about, a lot of other bands, you know, Eric Clapton, stuff like that. But I never got into Elvis. And I remember Spike, when he was here, as a huge music guy, of course, said, you got to really get into Elvis. Elvis was awesome, and you would like it. And I really still have it. Now, I have a dog named Elvis that I didn't name Elvis. And I remember when I picked him up at the groomer the one time. She goes to me, oh, you must really love Elvis. I said, yeah, no, he's a great dog, one of the best. And she goes, no, I meant the singer. I said, oh, no, well, sorry. Yeah, we didn't name him.
So. Well, you know, it just basically takes you through his beginnings and where he really was at the forefront of rock and roll and all the different hip movements and leg movements and all the criticism that he was receiving in the late 50s. And
did you see the movie with Tom Hanks?
I did.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
No, this
it was done oddly.
I thought this was really good because they piece together all of it. You know, you realize that he goes to Germany for 2 years when he has to enlist in the army, you know, gets drafted and everything. And then that's where he meets Priscilla. Priscilla's in it. I mean, it was a really good, like, I don't know, education on who Elvis was, what he became, and then how he came out of it.
Elvis
they didn't really touch much on the Vegas stuff, though.
Yeah, all that, the fat Elvis stuff.
And not the fat life. Elvis. This was the young Elvis and when he came back out of it in 1968.
Do you ever think about, like, would we look at Elvis the same if he had lived all the way to like 85? You know what I'm saying? Like the people who,
like, the way that we look at Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, well, but
because that would be a guy who, or Elton John.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I feel like when I hear those other names, I'm like, yeah, they obviously are legendary. When you think Elvis and some of the people who died young, their status is John Lennon. You know, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, I know, but you got to think about, like, Elvis, you know, got into it with, not got into it negatively, but got
Gary
into
Gary Myers?
No. Frank Sinatra.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And all the movies and back then the thought process, I didn't realize a lot of this, that the success really ran through Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then they packaged him and, you know, and it really took away the authenticity of who Elvis was. And that's really what this documentary was about, and about how he came out of those 7 years of movies and finally went back on stage, and NBC had it in 1968. And that particular show, and Bruce Springsteen's talking about that show, and, you know, and Priscilla's talking about that show, that she had never realized that he was that sexy on stage. I was crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a really entertaining and very, very good documentary, I thought.
It's just amazing how, like, back then, didn't he get, like, arrested or something for moving his hips in a certain way? Like, wasn't there, like, a thing?
Late 50s somewhere, down south somewhere, I don't know.
It's crazy.
You know, he has gospel in his bones because he grew up in Memphis. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of discussion about the music that he liked, that he was influenced by, how he would hang outside of black churches down south. And he would listen to the music, and that would drive him. And, I mean, I just, a lot of things that I didn't realize because I wasn't that big of an Elvis fan. But if you are an Elvis fan, even if you're not, it's a really interesting story about somebody who...
Oh, my goodness. You know what? It's just that... I just had one of those, like, holy crap moments. Elvis was the same age as I am right now when he died. 42. I would have thought Elvis was, like, in his 50s when he died. Would you have not thought that same thing?
Yeah, late 50s.
I was thinking, like, 57,
did he die, 58. Did he die in 1977 or 78?
1977.
Yeah, I was in Atlantic City, and I don't know why the hell I was there, but I was in Atlantic City the day that he died with a buddy of mine who was a huge Elvis fan. Loved Elvis fan, and I remember how it affected him.
Oh, I'm sure. Because that was unexpected at that time, obviously.
100% unexpected.
Because he wasn't sick.
It was like just... where we were when Michael Jackson died.
Yeah. I feel like I know... It was the NFL draft. I want to say it was the NFL draft at the Javits Center. If I'm right about that, my brain is filled with so much crap. I want to say it was in April because it was the draft. I just remember being at the Javits Center.
This is saying a June 25th.
All right, so it wasn't.
2009.
Someone else died then. During the draft, so I don't know. I don't remember.
We were working, believe it. That, you know, think about that, Al, for a second. 2009, Boomer and Carton were 2 years in.
Michael Jackson dying in 2009.
I remember Craig was a huge Michael Jackson fan. And that was, he was affected.
Well, of course, yeah.
You know, as many were. It was kind of like when President K Kennedy was shot.
Yeah. You know what they say, though, about Michael Jackson?
I have no idea. What are you going to say now?
Complicated legacy.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's what they say about that.
Yes.
That's like the that's the go-to phrase these days. You know, someone who was a legend in their field, but maybe there was some other stuff going on.
Maybe like a like Elvis is a complicated legacy, I think.
Nah.
To a certain point, maybe, no?
Well, just because of the drug use and stuff?
Yeah, well, you know, again, this documentary legitimately stops in 1968 and doesn't follow him after that.
So I don't really know. I mean, he wasn't doing anything.
No.
He wasn't hurting people,
no,
right?
No, just, no. He seemed like a really down-to-earth guy and just had this flamboyant energy that he had on stage when he first started. And then that Colonel Tom guy just packaged him up and sent him off to Hollywood and basically ruined him.
Yeah, there's always some guy like that in the shadows, right? Like with all those boy bands, there was that weird guy in the background.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was almost like it was a package deal, and we got to get him. We got to get him to the Hollywood. We got to get him in the movies. And even like Priscilla was looking at some of those movies, going, "How embarrassing this is! How demeaning that is!" You know, all those different things.
Yeah, yeah. Best your favorite Elvis song? Got one?
Let's see. Hmm. I'd probably say, I don't really have one, yeah. Honestly.
Okay. I don't know if I have one
Jailhouse
either.
Jailhouse Rock, maybe?
Yeah. Ain't nothing but a hound dog.
But a hound dog or whatever?
I don't know. No, but Jailhouse Rock, those are two different songs, right?
About Suspicious Minds, that's a good one.
In the Ghetto.
Also. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
a really good one, too. Yeah. A lot of good Elvis songs out there.
You watch it, tell me what you think, all right?
I will. I saw it on there, and I didn't put it on my list. I was like, I don't know if I'm interested.
Yeah,
now I'm interested.
Bruce Springsteen's all over it.
I'm in.
It's great.
Yeah, Elvis, abducted by aliens.
Viva Las Vegas.
There you go.
Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. Viva. Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, ho!
No more FAM.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.